Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing well, but I'm broke. It's the end of the month, and you don't know this yet because you have a seventh grader. You have an eighth grader, right?
Soon to be ninth grader.
Soon to be ninth grader. I have a freshman, going to be a sophomore, but I also had a freshman in college. And you think college is expensive? What is really expensive is when they come home for the summer. There's new envelopes for the gas, for the money, the whole bit.
You're on the envelope system.
I'm on the envelope system, and I'm telling you, I'm broke, man.
Now,
but I'm having a good time.
Why don't you share a little bit about the envelope system for our listeners that aren't familiar with your budgeting strategy?
Well, it's our radio buddy, Ramsey. Dave Ramsey put me on the envelope system because, you know, my wife has a real job, so we actually do have a steady income.
That's a bonus.
So she comes home, and then instead of, because I used to just go wild with the credit card, the debit card thingy. We have a CPA later in the program. He's going to get us on track with all that stuff anyway. But at any rate, Holly put me on the envelope system. So there's $15 for the haircut. You know, there's $20
every
for lunch.
Month, or how often do you refill the envelope?
Every month. And today's the day.
Today's the refill day?
Right. But I mean, so I'm poor until like 2 o'clock.
Okay.
And then I'm loaded
hold
again.
Out.
How are things going in your world? The last weekend we did the trumpet thing with your kids. Now what's happening?
That's right. He went to, he got to perform. You got to see him perform at the Atlanta Jazz Festival on the big screen. That was kind of a thrill for us.
That's where the sunburn came from. You see, I'm peeling.
Yeah, me too.
I'm gaining more and more forehead every year.
We're burning off our winter coat. That's why I call it.
So this is going to be a great show. We have the studio full. We've got PR people here. We have people that have been here before and have new books out. A little bit later in the program, we're going to hear from Brandy Nagel. She's got a new book out, and our listeners will be familiar with her and her work, but I'm excited to get caught up with that. We've got Clayton Hyatt, who goes by a clever name of The Accountant. So we're going to get a chance to get caught up with him.
That's going to be good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we need some direction in that regard because we should be on the envelope system here.
It could be. I wonder if it works for businesses. We'll have to find out.
Yeah, we'll see what he says about that. We got the food truck park guy.
That's right.
That you found. Imagine that. You're always finding
food.
The farmer's market or what have you.
Right.
But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the Grand Poobah, the president and CEO of an outfit called Clinical Resources LLC, Miss Jennifer Scully. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Did I call that right? Because I didn't look at my note quick enough. Are you the CEO, president, Grand Poobah?
I am, and founder. Give me a second, though. I'm filling out my envelope to pass across the table here. But
sounds good. So Clinical Resources, what are you guys out there doing for folks? Give us a little bit of an overview.
All right. Well, I am a nurse by background, but I have not worked as an actual nurse for many years now. But in 2007, I launched a healthcare staffing firm based here in Sandy Springs that provides nurses and other healthcare professionals across the country. And we basically place nurses, healthcare, physical therapists, pharmacists, everyone but physicians across the nation.
And is that how hospitals, medical facilities, long-term care facilities, is that typically how they go about hiring, at least initially, or do they typically go straight after the candidate, or is it just a mix?
It is sort of a mix. We specialize primarily, we launched specializing in the elder care market, servicing nursing homes, assisted living facilities, continuing care retirement communities across the country. My background was in elder care, so that's where we launched. And subsequent to that, we have expanded significantly. We now staff partially American Red Cross, even UPS, several other large accounts across the country. And what clients typically do is they will put a call out for high-level clinical professionals and call a company like us that specializes in that and where we're able to really vet those people and place them quickly.
Now, how did you make that transition from being a nurse to being a person who places nurses?
Good question. I was actually a staff nurse for many, many years. And then back in the early 90s, I was approached by a large nursing home company across the country that operated nursing homes across the country, asked me to be their head of clinical education. My career just escalated from there, and I became the EVP of clinical operations for a very, very large company that was based here in Atlanta. And when we sold that company, I had an opportunity to decide what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And I was pondering what I would do, and I was receiving calls from across the country, colleagues and people I knew, executives of large healthcare systems who said, "Hey, Jen, I need a nurse, or I need a therapist, or I need a pharmacist," you know, and I'd open up my what in those days, not that long ago, was actually probably a true Rolodex. And
half of the people in this room don't even know what a Rolodex is.
Okay, don't age me. That's not fair. And, you know, I was giving out names, and then all of a sudden I went, you know, this is a business line.
Right.
So I launched the company, and we've grown significantly, made the Inc. 500 last 2 years in a row, made the seventh fastest Atlanta-based business just recently, and we're just continuing to grow. We just have kind of a niche market in terms of healthcare staffing firms. There's many of those across the country, but we have a real high-touch model. And being a nurse myself, we're able to really relate to both the clients as well as the candidates we place. So that's what we think has attributed to our growth.
Now, for you personally, is it? I would imagine you're not around patients anymore. And that was probably what you liked initially about being a nurse, right?
Or yes, but you know what? You're still giving back. It's, you know, you're always giving back because now I just give back in a different level.
Right.
I'm making sure that the patients and residents that are served across the country in all healthcare settings have the right people to take care of their needs. And so it's just from a different perspective.
So you can spot a good nurse at
absolutely.
A glance?
Absolutely.
She can see one coming down
really?
The hall, I bet.
Within seconds. Absolutely. It's amazing. And probably one of the biggest characteristics of a really good nurse is truly having that compassion. But you also have to be very fiscally responsible, have excellent critical thinking skills, and be very resourceful because they work fairly independently. In fact, almost 100% independently.
Now, is there a nurse shortage? Are there a lot of nurses? What's the nurse kind of status right now?
Huge shortage. The shortage nationwide is, you know, almost 2 million open positions.
Really?
Right now for nurses. So we're not creating nurses, but what we're doing is we are, you know, able to source nurses to meet our clients' needs. The shortage is just dramatic, and there's really no end in sight.
So you have any thoughts on how to improve that?
Just
educate more nurses?
Educate people, encourage the youth to go into the nursing field. I mean, you know, healthcare is always a good market when you look at education and opportunities for the future. So encouraging our nation's youth to go into nursing as a chosen field. In this economy, when there is so much unemployment, there are not unemployed nurses.
Really?
So if you want to encourage...
What do you think the unemployment rate for nurses is? Is it like zero?
Probably zero.
Really? Because we had on recently technology people.
And we got the same story.
The same.
I know. Like
they're
developers
like,
and
right,
people that can write code and stuff. We got the exact same conversation.
They can pick their hours. They can request what they expect their pay rate to be. I mean, they are in the driver's seat. So, you know, it's a great profession, and there's so many different areas. We think of nursing as always staff nursing, where we're providing the direct patient care.
Right.
But we've got nurse attorneys. We have nurse researchers. Clinical informatics is a new huge field where there are nurses first, and then they go get a degree in technology, and they are helping develop software and also implement software.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to put Kelly on then. That's my sophomore in high school. The other one is too late. She's going to be like working at the White House and making $10,000 a year and saving mankind or something.
I have a granddaughter that's doing
that. So I think you mentioned something about all over the country. Sometimes I hear only what I want to hear. Focused just here in Metro Atlanta, or are you serving clients all over the country?
We're nationwide.
Wow.
There's only two states we have not operated in yet, and those are Hawaii and Alaska, and they are on my radar screen. Part of that's a little self-serving, you know, I'd like to get to Hawaii, but we do operate across the country.
Well, we need to talk to you about our remote broadcast service, and we can accompany you in the Hawaii as you launch. There's a lot of cool things we can do together.
Oh, so. I'm sure. We can be really creative. Nurses are resourceful as well, as you know.
So you started here in the Atlanta area?
Yes.
Now, so do you have the biggest footprint here?
We only have one location. We operate really using leveraging technology rather than having a lot of bricks and mortar across the country. We have the one corporate office here, and we work nationwide.
Everything's virtually?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's interesting.
So you can't be the only game in town. Surely it's a very competitive arena. What do you do to set yourself a part. It's got to be tough.
Well, I think what I touched on just briefly a few moments ago, it's really the customer service model. And I know that sounds a little bit cliche, but we know every single one of the nurses that we place personally. And we also meet with all of our clients personally. And because we are nurse-owned and operated as well, even though I don't function as a nurse anymore, we still really understand both the customers and the candidates' needs. And that really is the big differentiator. When I'm on the phone with a client and they're asking me for a wound care specialist, I know what that means without having to explain. And they're busy. I can quickly meet their needs. And I think that's probably it.
So when you're interviewing the nurses, is that happening virtually as well? Or you have people, you have boots on the ground in all the markets you serve?
All virtual.
Really?
Yes.
So you interview them over the phone?
Yes.
Or do you Skype?
We Skype as well.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're already nationwide, yes. But are there some plans to expand, put more bodies on the ground in certain markets, or do you have growth plans, or you kind of hit where you need to be, and now you just need to keep nursing the machine?
Well, you know, we have a very rigorous strategic plan, of course, but you know what? We never turn business away unless it's outside of our specialty area. Sometimes we do get calls for personnel that, you know, we're not specialists in, and we'll turn that away and lead them to the right person. But, you know, our goal is just to encourage more and more companies to call us. And we hear every day, clinical resources, oh, that company, we hear about them all the time. So our name is out there. We're spreading rapidly. We're being known by nurses and clients as being, you know, reliable, competent. Our company tagline is providing consistent and predictable results, and we really adhere to that.
Now, you're called clinical resources. You're not called clinical nursing. Is there a reason for that? Do you do more than nurses?
Yes, we do more than nurses. But I think the primary call is for nurses because that's where the large
is that,
shortage
that's
is.
And that's the kind of point of entry maybe for you, and then you can expand once you do a good job for them with nursing, then they go, hey, do you have one of these guys too?
Exactly. But the volume is typically in the nurses.
Uh-huh. So what are the other resources you...
Would be therapists, pharmacists, medical records professionals, social workers, dietitians.
But not doctors.
Not doctors. We don't do doctors.
And not a lot of calls for radio hosts, probably.
No, probably no radio.
At least at this point.
But I'll know who to refer to if we get that call.
So, but why no doctors?
You know, that's a very specialty area, and so it's there are companies that specialize just in physician recruitment, and the cycle on that is about 2 years for physician recruitment and placement. And, you know, I'm kind of an immediate action person, so I want to go where, you know, I could probably serve the client best.
So exactly who is the client inside a long-term care facility, a hospital, what have you? What's the title, function, role? Who are these people that you're going and having these conversations with?
It's typically the senior VP of operations and or the senior VP of HR. Now, sometimes it may be the senior VP or VP of clinical services too, which oversees the actual care delivery systems, whether it's a hospital system, hospice, home health, you know, nursing home. But the decision makers, and they'll be the ones that will say, we need additional support, you know, please call clinical resources. Then we are, you know, we meet face-to-face with HR and ops, and then the decision goes
So when you
there.
Say face-to-face, you're actually flying there?
I am on the road all the time.
Oh,
wow.
Really?
Yes.
So that part you do in person?
Yes.
And do you think that's a critical element? They have to know you personally?
Well, I
that
definitely
helps.
Think it helps.
Right.
You know, relationships, even though we've become very much of a virtual world, relationships are everything in business. And so, you know, we might initially have a client by a virtual contact, but then over time, and fairly soon, I'll say, listen, I'll be out to your offices. We'll meet face to face. And that's where you really secure that relationship. And that might be another one of the differentiators. There are literally thousands of healthcare staffing firms out there.
Right.
And I hear all the time, you're the only company who has taken time to come out and meet with us.
And you're doing this before I write you a check.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Wow,
that's an incredible investment. But even with that, and maybe that is your secret sauce that you're willing to do that, I mean, these are very high-level, busy people. How do you even get on their radar? How are you getting in front of them?
Well, that's partially how I launched the company. I was a former EVP for a large hospital and nursing home chain. And so a lot of those people...
So didn't you duck people like you every day?
Yes, I did duck people. And I say that to my staff in the office all the time. So we have this thing in the office where I'll say, I don't care who it is that calls, you always treat them with kindness, professionalism and courtesy because they're just doing their job. But yes, you're right. I used to duck people like me. And maybe that's maybe another, you know, secret sauce because I know how
you
to
know
navigate
all the
through that.
Right.
But aren't they hard to get in front of? I mean, you can't just send them a postcard and say, please do business with us, or you can't put a cold call sales guy on there, can you?
You really can't. And so that's why I still do a lot of the business development and marketing because...
Personally, you do.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. But you do need to know how to navigate through that. And it is difficult to get those appointments. But, you know, it's always, like I say, it's the relationships, it's the referrals. And, you know, we've been very lucky that way so far. So we'll see.
Well, and now you can tell them you know Howard, the food truck guy.
That's so, right. Well, I'm going to take Howard with me. I mean, that's kind of the plan. Being a customer and all, I think I need to bring him with.
Well, what an informative conversation. I think I knew a lot more, now than I did about
And I think it's a classic case of the right place and the right time. I mean, you brought the right skill set to an area that is desperate for this kind of service, and you were able to serve them well.
Absolutely. And, you know, they always say, do what you love.
Right.
And this is what I love. I love healthcare. I love giving back. I love nurses and other healthcare professionals. And so if you do what you love, then, you know, you'll be successful. It's just that secret sauce that isn't really a secret.
Well, I'll tell you, I would imagine your nurses appreciate working for somebody who has been in the trenches like they have instead of, because a lot of times you hear of them feeling, you know, some friction with doctors and stuff, but to have somebody watching their back like your firm does, that must be good for them as well as for you.
Absolutely. We hear that every day. In fact, right before coming on the air, I was on the phone with a nurse that we have placed in Houston, and she knew that she could call me directly with an issue, walked her through it, and she was forever grateful. She will always work with us. She will always work with our clients, and we went through problem resolution for the client long before it became a real issue.
An issue, right.
Right.
You can anticipate that.
Right.
That's good stuff.
Well, before we let you go, let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you, reach out, and maybe have a substantive conversation about how to engage you and get some help on hiring the right kind of talent.
Very good. Well, we are based here in Sandy Springs on Glen Ridge. Our phone number is 888-800-3377. And our website is clinicalresources.com, very easy. And we'd love to hear from any and all of you that are either interested in moving into healthcare or have a need for some healthcare support and personnel or are looking for a position yourself. Thank you very much for having us.
And the website is clinicalresources.com.
Correct.
Good Fantastic. Stuff. Hey, how about hanging out with us for a little while we visit with our other guests?
I would love to.
Terrific. Well, Lee, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, the food truck park guy is in the house, Mr. Howard Sue. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
How did we do on pronunciation?
Perfect. Did really well. So, I'd like to hear it a few more times if possible.
We'll say it throughout the whole segment. So we'll keep repeating it. Food trucks I've heard of, parks I've heard of. I'm not familiar with the concept of having both together. Tell us a little bit about this.
Neither am I. Well, I started, I've always been in the restaurant business, and my sister and I own a company called Gezzo's Surf and Grill. We got a couple of those locations, little taco shops, burrito shops in Henry County. And about a year ago, I met my two business partners, Richard Sheeler and David Buster, and we started Sweet Auburn Barbecue, and we started out of a barbecue food truck trailer. And so all last year, we would hit up the food truck circuit, go to different events, festivals, caterings. And although it was great and a lot of fun, it wasn't something that was consistently every day. So I started going back to the traditional approach of a bricks and mortar location and started trying to find a location where we could set up our truck on days where we didn't have events going on. And I've always been in love with the West Side, Howell Mill area. So contacted a few real estate brokers, and the location that I've actually always eyeballed for a barbecue restaurant wasn't available, or was available, it was just too high in rent, couldn't make a deal get a deal done there. But the same landlord suggested the property across the street, which he owned, and which is now the Atlanta Food Truck Park on Howell Mill Road.
And that property isn't a property in the sense of a restaurant location, right?
It was a former hotel that's been demolitioned. It's been an eyesore for the past 3 to 4 years, I believe. So it's just been a pretty much a just an empty vacant lot, and
And you looked at that and you're like, wow, this will be perfect for a food truck park.
It really was. My current business partner in the food truck park, he's in commercial real estate, Brian Harvin, another friend of mine from high school. He actually was in Austin one weekend with his wife and said, you know, man, these food truck parks out here in Austin, Texas are really cool. And you know, and when he said that, we just said, well, you know, that's what that property could become. And with the 60 food trucks here in Atlanta, and it's still growing, you know, everybody could use filler spots and a location where it's known to the public, where you can come out and, you know, just...
How do you guys compete with all the other food truck parks here in town?
Well, there's not really any food truck parks
really?
In town.
There's secret number one.
Right? Yeah. Well, there's definitely locations where people have opened up their property to have food trucks on a
weekly
basis. But
that's usually like
basis.
A couple, right?
I mean, guys... there's maybe two or three places in Atlanta that I think Midtown, there's a location. There's a couple of locations in Midtown, and then Atlantic Station does it. But as a place that generally is designed to host food trucks and host people who
on a
want
day-to-day
to,
basis. On a day-to-day. You're the only game in town, right?
We're the only game in town.
Well, now, isn't this thing on Saturdays? You don't have this every day, do you?
Well, our goal is to be 7 days a week. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we are 7 days a week. A lot of trucks like to take maybe a Sunday off here and maybe or Monday here, but there's always going to be a truck or two out there. It's like the restaurant. It grows throughout the week. You know, later in the week, the crowds start coming out, the trucks start coming out. So Thursday nights is always a good night. We have live music. Wednesdays, we're trying to establish a regular movie night. We have 2 acres of lawn space. Where we want to host a screen on the green type.
How
event.
Cool is that, man?
Yeah,
cool. No, it's a great idea, and the crowds are coming, right?
Yeah, we hosted close to 4,000 people on our grand opening.
Wow.
Yeah, we had people walking a quarter mile over I-75 with their dogs and baby strollers coming to the park. So it's definitely been well received by the community.
Now, did you have some zoning hassles and spend a lot of hours down at the courthouse wanting to
that would be ridiculous
stick your eye
I'm
out
sure
with
the
a
community
fork?
Would embrace this and make it easier for them.
Well, the property itself is zoned properly. There's been no issues really. We've done our due diligence as the property leaseholders. Met with planning and zoning, and everything's a go for outdoor vending. What the issues and the holdups have been are in the food trucks. They can easily get a health permit for their trucks, but when it comes to the vending permit that all the food trucks need, they have to go through a very rigorous process, and they have to deal with the police department, get fingerprinted, driving records. It's a good 2 day process, and if you know 2 days and when you're busy is very difficult. But once the park opened up, there was a lot of support from the community.
But once they get that license, then they're in.
Yeah,
they don't have to do it every time.
No.
Right?
They're good for
one time,
1 year. They have to renew every year, just like a business license. But yeah.
So what kind of variety could we expect if we were to come down on a Thursday afternoon or evening, for example, or a Saturday?
You know, one of my favorites is probably the One Love Jerk Grill. You got amazing Caribbean style, Jamaican style food. Mixed up truck is real good. A classically trained chef. We got Korean tacos. Of course, you got Sweet Auburn Barbecue that's there as a staple all the time. You get cheesesteaks, cupcakes, King of Pops. You know, fresh squeezed lemonade. It's the neat thing is you can come one day and then you come the next. It's a
totally different,
complete different set of trucks. So it's always changing. You know, so there's everybody. Everybody that every one of these trucks is a unique operation, and they bring the operator's personality to it. So some of them are, classically trained, and some of them are, you know, fusion based on their heritage, Latin food or Puerto Rican food. So it's very neat.
Now, you mentioned that you've been in the restaurant business for a while. How is the restaurant business different than the food truck business?
Well, they're both very difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, it's unique because it's you're taking your brand and your business to a captive audience when you go somewhere, whether it's a festival or a catering event. So So there's a lot of awareness. So that's neat. And you can always kind of set your own schedule. You can put quotas, but then it's different in the sense that, in my opinion, you're not building, you are building a business, but you're not marketing to a, let's say, a neighborhood where a traditional bricks and mortar, like a McDonald's, you know, that.
Right.
You know,
so like in that neighborhood, the people would know you because you're there every day. Yeah. But now in your case, you're moving, you're in different places every day.
Yeah. And some of the trucks have figured out that they want to be at a certain area one night of the week. And then,
That sounds smart.
They have routes, and that's how they're establishing their business, which is probably the way it's going to be for food trucks. But, you know, then you got, you know, a location like Howell Mill where you've got 300,000 cars passing you on 75 and then 50,000 on Howell Mill Road. So, you know, I kind of like being, you know, that's my conservative from a restaurant background of
right. So you're getting kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Well, what it's allowed, the park has allowed for Sweet Auburn Barbecue is we've taken one of our food trucks and made it stationary at the park. But we're investing in another unit so we can go do caterings and private events. So
right.
That's how we're growing our business.
And you should park in the parking lot of hospitals at 3 o'clock in the morning because there's a lot of hungry nurses
that's
without
right.
good options. Yeah. Might be worth checking out. There may be something there.
There's a lot of business in the healthcare. They seem to embrace food.
So a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs, and many of them, candidly, are struggling a little bit, trying to get their thing off the ground. What counsel, if any, would you offer them? Because obviously you've sort of made it over the hump.
If the direction is to get into the food truck business or any business, make sure you do your due diligence and make sure you actually have a passion for it and you've got support from your family, your loved ones. I like to say 60 hours a week in this business is part time. So, you know, it's a challenge. It's a struggle. It's not easy. You know, it's neat and it's fun. And there's a lot of social, huge social aspect to being in the food truck business or a restaurant business. But it's going to be like any business. It's a challenge.
Now you mentioned briefly, you alluded to the importance of kind of getting the word out, and you had a support system to help you do that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
You mean promoting the park itself,
right, like to get that off the ground?
Yeah, we've employed the Reynolds Group, PR firm, and we've been real pleased with using them. The food trucks themselves all have followings.
Right. Isn't social media an important component
huge,
of marketing
huge,
of food
yeah,
trucks?
Yeah. Once we, our Facebook page was growing about 10 likes a day or 10 fans a day for the
right.
first maybe 3 weeks. But once we made it the first public announcement through Scout Mob and the Reynolds Group, it grew 1,200 in one day. So
wow.
And since then it's been growing.
Now, can you talk a little bit about how you chose the Reynolds Group? There's a million PR firms out there that do, you know, kind of that kind of work.
They're professional. They're in the industry that I've chosen for my career, and they've got a great reputation. And so,
did you have a personal relationship with them, or how did you choose them?
No,
pages.
I think we met through some networking events,
right.
and they would come out to the food truck events and. And eventually, we had an opportunity to work together, and you know, so it's been good working with the Reynolds Group.
I would think that's a critical relationship, and it sounds like they're pro food, which is always a good start.
They are. Part of our contract is a trade and
right.
food for services.
Right. You got to show up at their corporate events.
That's right.
But no, the messaging, what you say, how you say it is so important. And, you know, those of us, you know, all of us have skills in some areas, but they're not necessarily public relations skills.
Yeah. And you know, I've got a degree in business and marketing, but, you know, PR is completely different, you know, especially with a new industry. People don't understand that this is a new model, a new business. I mean, there's probably 3 food truck parks actually out there in the U.S., and one of them is in the Southeast.
Well, I got to ask, you know, you talked about family support and all that, and I think that's critical and helpful, but there's got to be the brother-in-law, the sister-in-law that rolls their eyes at you when you say, I'm going to do a food truck.
Yeah,
park,
there's
right?
been plenty of those. There's been plenty of those. But, you know, you got to be in it to understand anything in life. So. But yeah, it's been a good fun investment, and you know, think we're off to a good start.
I do too, and I'm looking forward to going. Let's make sure that I know how to get there. Actually, let's make sure Lee knows how to get there, because I don't drive. Lee drives.
Well, we're on the corner of Howell Mill Road and 75 North. We're actually the northeast quadrant of that area. The address is 1850 Howell Mill Road. You can go to our website, AtlantaFoodTruckPark.com, and visit our calendar for the list of different food trucks that will make their appearances. We also have, you know, different events going on. Thursdays, live music, again, movie nights. Or you can visit us on Facebook, yeah, which is facebook.com/AtlantaFoodTruckPark.
And then on there, then you get kind of a up-to-date listing of who's there.
Yeah, we've got a social media manager that lists day-to-day what food trucks plan on coming out, and it's not always 100% accurate, because it's all the food trucks are independent operations, and you know, we're all human, and they sometimes double book, or they don't have staffing, or they sell out the night before, so they have to stay in the kitchen and prep for the next service. So but it's generally pretty accurate. So
did you hear that, though? He's made the investment in a relationship with a professional PR firm. He's made the investment in a social media manager. So he really is trying to work on the business, not in the business, like one of those books that you made me read.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think that's important
good
stuff.
Good counsel.
And I think Thursday nights is our night, because that's got the music and the movie and the whole bit.
And maybe one day we'll do a live remote. What do you think?
That would be wonderful.
Oh, that would be a blast.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So we just have to convert our remote fee to food truck items.
We'll get paid in food.
Tacos.
Exactly.
As long as they have electricity, I would imagine they
coleslaw.
Do.
Coleslaw.
Well, Howard Sue with the food truck park. What a delight to have you in, man. You got
Thanks.
Me. I'm hungry now, though.
Yeah. Well, come on to the park, guys.
Are you open for lunch, or is it only evenings?
We're open 7 days a week, lunch and dinner. Sunday night's kind of a slower night, but we're adding trucks every. You know, we're only a few weeks old, so the trucks are finding what works for their schedule, for their operations.
But the hours are typically like lunch, like 11 to 2?
Yeah,
and then...
just, you know, if you want to be certain that you get a meal, make sure you come
earlier,
11:30 to 12:30 generally, right. You can, you know, but the trucks do sell out, the crowds are there, people love them, and, you know, the park is designed to be a place for the people and for the food truck operator, so we're open as long as the trucks are coming, and every day there's being trucks lined up.
So at any time, there could be somebody there.
Yeah. You drive by, there's usually a truck or two there,
right.
At least. And then sometimes there's 12, 15 trucks.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a fun little elusive.
It's a great addition to Atlanta.
It most certainly. Color me and my driver there. We will definitely drop in more than once, maybe once a week.
Yeah.
Hey, how about hanging with us while we visit with the accountant and an author of a new book here?
You bet.
Terrific. Lee, next up on Atlanta Business Radio, not an accountant, but
the
accountant, Mr. Clayton Hyatt. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you, and I promise that we're going to talk all about you and your business, but I think that some full disclosure is due here. The way that we know each other, 3 years running now, I believe, we have both been invited. I know you're a little closer to the situation because you actually worked the party a little bit, and you're good friends with the host, but 3 years running now, I believe it is, I have been invited, and you are there, to Miss Pat Chilton's Blooming Tree Party.
That's correct.
And what a great bartender you make. I'm sure you're a fine accountant, but you're a fantastic bartender, man.
Yeah, it's tough to do accounting when you're pouring drinks.
So, we've gotten to know each other a little bit, and we've thoroughly enjoyed hanging out with Pat. We've got to get Pat in the studio. I think she'd be a blast, don't you?
Oh, my goodness.
So we're going to make that happen. That's going to be an objective for you and I. But while we've got you captive in the studio, tell us a little bit about your practice. You're a CPA. You're calling yourself the accountant. And I get the distinct sense that you do things beyond just crunching the numbers. Tell us a little bit about your work, man.
Well, I've got 20-plus years in business and specifically in finance. And, you know, with the downturn, the economic downturn, I've had an opportunity to step outside of all of that business and the corporate world and take a look at what that experience has given me and how I can give that back. And, you know, I heard you talk with Howard a little about, you know, working on the business. And really, that's my whole approach is you know, you can crunch numbers all day long and you can see where you are, but how are you doing? And what areas of your business need to be looked at and worked on? And that's really what I focus on. I want to get known, be known as a trusted advisor in business. And so what I'm trying to, or what I'm working to produce for myself is clients who start up or in the middle of their experience and they're looking for somebody to help them, a leader that they can bring in and help them reorganize or restructure their business or look at what issues and difficulties they're having and how they can make them better.
Well, I'll tell you this. Everyone at this table knows this. There are a handful of very critical decisions that early when you're building a business, man, you get two or three of those wrong and you're done. You're toast. What kind of mistakes? You must see some of the same kinds of mistakes over and over. Do you see some patterns? What are some mistakes that someone like Lee might make?
Or have made.
Or have made.
Well, I'll tell you, the number one thing is when you want to run a business, you say, hey, I got this great idea, but I need funding to do it. Well, you can go ask everybody in the world for some money, but that money doesn't go very long, very far. And so my initial view of every organization I look at is, where's your business plan? Let's stop and create a business plan if you haven't already done that, because that helps you recognize what you want to do for the next 12 months or 24 months. It's not a difficult thing to do. You're already in business. You've already got that mindset. You think, hey, I just want to go get some money. Well, a bank's going to look at you and say,
sure, where? How much you need?
Yeah, where's your data? What are you going to do? So that's what I typically see people miss in their business organization is creating a business plan.
So, you know, I was asking Jennifer earlier in the show how she gets in front of the people that will write her checks. That CPAs, with all due respect, there's a lot of them right here in town. How are you getting in front of the people that you could serve? That's got to be tough for you too.
It is tough, but there are a lot of organizations. There are, you know, the Metro Atlanta Chamber that's available, and you can get in there and meet with people and talk to them about what they're doing in their business. You know, I'm trying to figure out myself how to get into the social networking part of it to be able to.
Well, still Howard has his own social media manager.
That's what I hear.
There's PR brains all over the place here. We got him.
Hit the food park, steal the social media manager, grab a Korean taco on the way out, you're done. But no, I mean, you cannot ignore, all kidding aside, you can't ignore social media platforms for all kinds of things, including just helping you get some thought leadership out there so that you get the attention of somebody that might write you a check.
Well, I think that's one of the biggest shifts. I mean, at one point, probably in your career, like being an accountant was all you had to be to have a career. And nowadays, you got to be also a marketing person and all these other things. You got to wear a lot more hats than you used to.
Absolutely. And in my business and my experience, I've had the opportunity to look at business from HR, from operations, from accounting and finance, and I've been able to become a strategic partner in business as well. So, you know,
and a bartender.
Was that in business?
I think it all plays. Look, it takes social skills to be a good bartender.
That's right. Right? That's right. That's right.
So what's your favorite part about the job? What do you enjoy the most? What do you find the most rewarding? And while I'm asking the question, what do you find a little bit challenging, if not downright frustrating sometimes doing this kind of work?
Frustrating part is building the business. That's the hard one.
Building the business is building really, it really business. Is. It's the toughest part, isn't
it? It's the toughest part. Yeah. It really is. The part I enjoy the best is when I'm getting lost in all the data that I get to look at. I love it. I just get lost in it, and the day's over? What?
Stone's favorite part is the invoicing. That's his favorite part.
I love invoicing.
I like collecting the money.
Yeah, me too. So you love the work. If you could just focus on actually doing the work and you could just somehow get the business, you'd love that.
Love it. I love meeting with people, talking to them about their business, about what their challenges are, helping them kind of focus and direct themselves into working on the business and not in it. So that's my whole focus and goal.
Good for you.
Cool. So if somebody wants to learn more about your practice, where would they go?
They can go to theaccountantmarietta.com.
Oh, I got to ask you, what made you decide to call yourself the accountant instead of an accountant?
That's what I do.
It's confidence.
It's what I do.
It's a level of confidence.
That's right. That's right.
Well, thanks for coming on, man. And we got to have you back. I'll tell you what I'd like to do sometime that I think would be a very insightful interview is maybe have you bring a client with you, and we'll hear about the relationship and get it from their perspective, you know, kind of where things started, how they progressed, and how you guys are working. That you'd be up for that sometime?
Absolutely. All right. Got a great client to think of right now. I've got one that be perfect.
So it'd make you look good too, right? Like, I can get you on Lee Cantor's radio show. Wow. You have no idea what kind of weight
you can dream. You can dream.
Good stuff. Well, we have one more guest that we're going to visit with. Will you hang out with us while we do that?
You bet.
All right. So, Lee, this has been a very busy show with a lot of folks.
Know.
And but this last guest, she's no stranger to the microphone or the business radio.
And it's going
to
tie everything together.
It's going to bring it all together because the lady knows a thing or two about social media, and she's got a new book out. Welcome back to the studio and to the mic, Brandy Nagel.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Man, it's good to see you again. I know you've been up to all kinds of neat things since we talked to you last, but one of the most fun apparently has been getting this new book out, Digitally Famous. Tell us about this thing. What compelled you to write it, and what's the plan?
So I'm going to borrow one of Lee's words, and that's I was working on becoming a micro celebrity.
Uh-huh.
And I actually got recognized in a coffee house, and I went home and called my mom.
Really?
Oh, this is so cool. I was in the middle of introducing myself to my writing group, and someone who was sitting behind us says, "Oh, you're Brandy Nagel. I know who you are." And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. And she had found out about me because of a newsletter that I do, and I do some public speaking on different topics. So I thought, this is a thing. I mean, this is really a thing. You can become a micro celebrity. You can become digitally famous in your own community. And I could write down how to do this and make a book. And it wasn't as hard as I thought it was to write a book.
Really? Because a lot of people are intimidated by that whole just, I mean, they'd like to have written a book, but the actual writing part scares some people.
You know, if you put your butt down in your seat and you got a computer that's fast enough, it goes pretty quick.
So it's the computer that's the key, not the person pressing the buttons on the computer?
Well, I'm not so sure about that.
All right, so let's get my buddy Clayton some real-time help, and I want to keep Clayton wired up because he's probably going to have some questions. So please keep his mic open for a little bit, Lee. But kind of getting his thing off the ground, technically very proficient, has a rock star pedigree resume when it comes to doing the actual work. But he's finding, you know, just getting out there his biggest challenge. How would you help a Clayton get digitally famous? What are some of the early steps?
So, Clayton, the first thing we got to make sure is you're on LinkedIn.
I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay, that's a great start. And then the second thing we do is we make sure your LinkedIn profile really sparkles.
Got to sparkle.
It's got to sparkle.
I need some spray.
We got to make sure that when people are reading your LinkedIn profile, they're really learning something about you. And not just that you're an accountant, not just your credentials, but that you've got some passion for this, that you get lost in the data. That was the words that you used. And that's the kind of thing that's going to resonate with someone who's looking for you. So that's how we connect and do the match made in heaven. And I think maybe a blog, if you're someone who enjoys writing. If writing is not your style, then maybe a radio show would be a better choice.
Wow.
He likes math. So is there something math-oriented he could be doing?
I'm thinking.
Lost in the data.
Lost in the data. See, that would be the title of a blog for you.
You right? bet.
Lost in the data. And people, I think, are... there's two categories of people with blogs. There's the folks who get all excited, they write three blog posts, and then they never write another one. That's not good. And then there's the other category of people who never even start, and they're intimidated by the idea. But a blog really can be anything you want. It can be pretty simple. It can be just a few sentences each day, some observations about what you've seen, kind of best practices in the business. So I think we could get you set up with a blog and you'd be squared away.
I do have a couple blogs on my website. So
okay.
Now you've given me another subject to write about.
Okay.
Now, is it does everybody have to do everything? Because, you know, there's a million social media choices out there.
They drive you nuts. There's so many of these platforms.
There's Twitter, there's LinkedIn, there's Facebook. Like, you know, Clayton might have a big Pinterest thing going on that we don't know about.
That could
be. So, like, how do you choose the right social media outlet for your business?
So, good rule of thumb is for business to business, LinkedIn is a good choice. For consumer-oriented or retail-oriented businesses, Facebook and Pinterest are better choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really the more important point is we have to select things that we actually like and we're going to stick with.
Right.
So I got to ask this. How much is too much to share? I've got a ton of stuff happening in my world. Not all of it is maybe appropriate or is going to be meaningful. How do you make that call?
So, and I've heard people wonder about how do you balance your work life and your personal life, right?
Yeah,
and where's the blurry line these days? I think that we have to think about it differently. It's not work and personal or personal and anything else. It's your public life and your private life. And in your public life, we don't share things about vacations when our house is going to be empty. For example,
that's a good tip.
That's a good tip, right? There are some applications on LinkedIn and Facebook where you can announce that you're going on a trip, and that just makes it so easy for someone to come and rob your house.
Right.
So, you know, there's a little bit of common sense.
I've never even thought about that.
Of course not. You haven't. You keep your door unlocked.
I've got Key West stuff all over. You know, you're going to laugh at this. I know I'm commandeering her segment, but I got to tell you this because I'll forget. You're always getting on me about having an unlocked door.
Right.
So we have the key under the mat, right?
Safely there, yes.
Well,
why don't we announce that now
not
to
only,
everyone?
Not, well, we don't
what
anymore.
What mat? Why don't you just tell us what mat? Save a step.
And the address.
And the security code
so
of your alarm.
Here's what'll get you. Is, you know, the cord that the lanyard to hang it around the kid's neck? It's sticking outside the mat. So the key's under the mat yesterday. The cord's outside. Okay, back to your regularly scheduled program. Go ahead, Brandy.
I would like to recommend a particular website for you. It's called pleaserobme.com.
And it's a social network for robbers.
It's all about oversharing. Yeah, you know, things that you put on the internet really never go away. So we have to be somewhat discreet. No one ever regrets being discreet.
Right.
And be thoughtful about how much information you're going to share. And your public life, everyone can share that. But my mom always told me there's four things we don't talk about in public, and that's sex, money, religion, and politics. And I think if you're going to break one of those rules, break it on purpose. But otherwise, you know, use your best discretion.
But at the same time, a little bit of background about your family or about a movie you saw, some of that is endearing and makes you real, right?
Yes,
so it's not like you just totally cut off that whole aspect of your life.
No, you're right. You're right. Having some of our personal experiences and some of our personality adds richness to our online personality.
And it helps you connect with people. You know, if you're looking for a potential accountant, and I see that he likes to be a bartender and I'm an alcoholic, I might think, wow, this is a perfect accountant for me, right?
No write-offs for liquor.
Depends. If I'm having enough events, you might be able to.
That's right.
Well, and if you wear a Hawaiian shirt to work and you work on the radio, you're going to draw that line a little further down the continuum maybe than somebody else, right?
It's a spectrum, yes. There's a spectrum.
So let's get back to your book. Now, what's in the book? Is it going to show me how to become digitally famous, or is it going to just talk about how you're digitally famous?
It is step-by-step instructions, and it's really written for someone who does not have a lot of knowledge about social media, so it's how to set up an account even.
It's kind of 101.
Yeah, really, really basics, and this is part of a series. The next book will be a little bit more advanced, but it's how to set up an account with YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, Google+, Twitter, the whole shebang.
The whole shebang.
The whole shebang.
All right.
I had somebody plus me back yesterday.
I don't know. I have my own Google+, but I don't know how to operate it.
Well, again, I think Kelly gets on there and does stuff. I know she changes the background on my cell phone. She must do something with my Google+-y stuff. So I need to read the book and get my arms around this thing, get the house key back in the house.
I think if we have to prioritize for you, Stone, I think the house key is probably first priority.
He needs an intervention.
So do you have a favorite chapter or a favorite area of the book? Like if we held a gun to your head and said, look, you can only teach one major concept out of this puppy. Is there one that you would land on?
Yeah, it's actually the first chapter, and it's about personal branding. Because before you can go online and start talking about yourself or your passions, your interests, your business, you got to have that foundation of what are you going to talk about?
You got to be clear there.
Yeah. And I think the personal branding, it applies to people, whether they're healthcare professionals, CPAs, food truck operators, radio show hosts, entrepreneurs, you know, it applies to everyone.
But you think anybody can become digitally famous in this world today?
Actually not. I think there's some people who are too bashful and who are not in the mode of sharing enough of themselves.
Right.
They're too reserved maybe to be famous. And that's okay. We need those people too.
They can read our posts.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. And comment on it, yeah.
So being an author, releasing a book like this, are you finding that you command higher speaking fees and having the book makes you more famous? Is it what kind of impact, other than the direct monetary of I give you some money and you give me a book, are you seeing from being an author?
So the coolest thing that's happened so far is I applied to speak at Digital Summit, which is a nationwide presentation of all digital technologies. It was held here in Atlanta, and I was accepted as a speaker, and I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Now, are you still involved with Georgia Tech?
I am. I do volunteer work with Georgia Tech with the entrepreneurs, and just adore. I love hanging out with geeks. I have to admit it.
So you were doing some work at the Innovation Institute, or is that still going on?
Yeah, I worked with the Enterprise Innovation Institute for about 2 years and do some volunteer work with them still.
What about the ATDC?
Yep, absolutely love ATDC. And their related association is called Venture Lab, and that's for entrepreneurs who are employed by Georgia Tech or going to school there. Yeah, these are great organizations, great assets for our community.
So how can we get our hands on this book and or get an opportunity to visit with you personally about getting digitally famous?
I'm so glad you asked that. The book's available on Amazon. It's called Digitally Famous by Brandy Nagel, and it's available as a paperback book and also by Kindle.
Oh, Stone's favorite.
I'm loving the Kindle because I got the Kindle Fire thing now.
Excellent, excellent. And you can find me on the website. It's digitallyfamousthebook.com. And I have a couple of speaking engagements coming up at actually speaking with local job seeker groups here in the community, because that's a big part. That's a great opportunity for a job seeker to become locally famous or famous within their industry, their community. That's a great opportunity for them.
Yeah, that's almost a must-have nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah.
We got to get better at asking about these folks that do professional speaking. You know how they ask the comics on Jay Leno, you know, where are you going to be playing? I'm going to be playing at the Punchline or whatever. Right. So tell us, where are you going to be speaking coming up?
I'll be speaking at Mount Pisgah.
Uh-huh.
That's a church up in Johns Creek. And on June 6th.
Very cool. And you're very involved in a lot of events throughout the year to do with different stuff. So you got to come back and get us caught up from time to time. Just let us know what's happening.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah, fun stuff.
All right. Well, great show today, Stone. And I want to thank all of our guests. And I want to thank you. And we will see you all next time on the Atlanta Business Radio Show.